It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. At least 9 Wisconsin communities have decided to stop adding fluoride to their public drinking water this year. They cite concerns about possible health risks that outweigh the widespread dental health benefits.
And at least 6 more communities, Buren, Black Earth, Ladysmith, Monroe, Peshtigo, and Wausau, are considering doing the same.
According to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Wisconsin overall shows a slow downward trend in public water system fluoridation since 2004, with that decline slightly accelerating in recent years.
A physician who focuses on public health joins us now to explain the latest health research on fluoride and its role in public drinking water systems.
Dr. Patrick Remington is an emeritus professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, explain to us, why is it the standard to put small amounts of fluoride in public drinking water? What benefits does it offer?
Well, we've known for 50 or more years that fluoride in drinking water reduces the incidence, how frequently kids get cavities, and it improves oral health. Back in the 1950s, more than half of persons over 65 were toothless. I remember growing up seeing ads for denture cream and Polident and ways to keep your dentures in your mouth and keep them clean. And you don't see those ads anymore because the percentage of people over 65 who don't have any teeth has plummeted. It's down in Wisconsin probably about 5% now. And so that really significant disability comes from cavities and fluoride. We know low levels of fluoride are extremely effective in reducing cavities in kids and improving oral health. So it's one of the 10 biggest public health success stories of the 20th century. And also it's a classic public health intervention in that you do one thing, put a little bit of fluoride in drinking water, and the entire population is protected.
Then why is fluoride becoming such a hot-button issue in some communities?
Well, we've always known that fluoride, like pretty much every other chemical, can be toxic at high doses. There's a saying that says that dose makes the poison. Drinking water at high doses can be a poison. You get a condition called hyponatremia. Anybody who drinks too much water can be poisoned and, in fact, can die. That happens often, infrequently in marathon runners, people exercising in warm climates. We know lead is a poison that even at very low doses can be neurotoxic. And so the same is true with fluoride. At high doses, it can be a poison. And that's why the recommendation for water fluoridation is quite low. And in fact, in the last decade or so, that level has dropped from 1.2 milligram per liter to 0.7 milligram per liter because people get fluoride in other ways. They get it in fluoridated toothpaste. And if you don't have supplemented drinking water, you can get it in fluoride rinses from your dentist. So because people get fluoride in other ways today, that level has been reduced.
And to put it into perspective, 0.7 milligrams per liter, it's about 3 drops of fluoride per 55 gallons of water. What is your sense in how closely WaterWorks in Wisconsin follow this recommendation from the CDC?
Oh, I, in preparation for this show, I checked the Madison fluoride levels. Our drinking water comes and it's right at about 0.7. That's if you get municipal water, you can probably go online and check the fluoride level, and I encourage people to do that. If you have a private well, there may be fluoride in the drinking water. There are some communities where the water that comes through the ground contains fluoride, and in those communities, supplementation would not be needed for people on private well water. But if you check your well water, and you find no fluoride, then I think you should have a conversation with your dentist about ways to get fluoride so that children, particularly young children, are protected and they can begin their life with good teeth, with teeth without cavities, and then have good oral health through their entire life.
You mentioned your dentist. If you have a dentist, if you get those regular checkups, if you get the fluoride rinses, can you talk about some of those barriers to that, you know, that dental access?
Well, again, that's one of the reasons that water fluoridation is considered a classic public health intervention, in that in public health, we try to make the healthy choice the easy choice or the default choice. But in fact, with water fluoridation, individuals don't have to choose at all. You just are protected by the fact that you're drinking water that is fluoridated. And so it's equitable. Everybody in the community is protected equally. So whether you have dental insurance or make a lot of money and can afford to see dentists quite often, or you may be poor. And we know that even though we provide health insurance for people who are poor, many dentists don't accept Medicaid as a payer. And so it's really challenging if you're poor to see a dentist, and leaving it up to individuals to find a dentist who is willing to have that conversation to provide the right amount of fluoride can be challenging for people who are struggling with poverty.
We're talking with Dr. Patrick Remington, Emeritus Professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the debates about fluoride in drinking water in Wisconsin communities and looking at the public health perspective on this issue. Turning to Wausau here, one of the Wisconsin communities considering removing fluoride from their public drinking water system. Let's take a listen to a comment from a concerned citizen at last month's Wausau Waterworks Commission meeting.
We've had a lot of toxic chemicals in the past. We've had asbestos, tobacco, DDT, glyphosate, mercury, lead, J&J, talcum powders, lots of them. There's been personal injury attorneys lined up around the block, and they're still doing it. I still get solicitations for asbestos, things like that. We don't want to go through all that again.
We don't want to go through that all again. Some people worried about the effects of fluoride might equate it with substances that were once considered safe and then were found to be harmful. Should fluoride be in that category?
Well, I don't think it should be. No, I mean, the chemicals that that individual mentioned, asbestos, lead, cigarette smoke, we've known for a very long time that these chemicals are harmful. They have benefits in industry. Asbestos reduced the risk of fire. Lead made our car engines run better, knock less. And cigarette smoke provides people with nicotine. But those substances are harmful at any level, and they really don't provide a health benefit. So fluoride is a chemical that at low doses provides a significant health benefit. That is not debated. We have not seen progress in reducing toothlessness like we have without fluoride. So I think you need to begin by saying that fluoride has definite public health benefits in oral hygiene. Now, like any other chemical, it can be harmful. There are risks at high doses. Fluorosis is a condition that develops in teeth that can lead to staining if people aren't getting too much fluoride. And obviously, it becomes a poison at much higher levels. There is concern about neurotoxic effects of fluoride. In a National Toxicology Program report came out and said we ought to be concerned about that. And I think that's more than reasonable. We ought to be concerned about health effects. And research right now shows that at the low levels that are seen in water supplementation, there's no evidence, no firm evidence of any neurotoxicologic effects. So I think there's known benefit, and the evidence on risks at low levels is not there. So I think it's different than the chemicals the individual talked about.
And Dr. Remington, there have been concerns about infants drinking formula mixed with tap water if most of their diet at that age includes fluoridated water. Should the parent, the caregiver, avoid using tap water for that purpose?
No, in fact, fluoride is beneficial when teeth begin to be formed in utero and as young children. So I think by being in drinking water, it comes into the teeth through your body. You can apply it superficially on the outside with toothpaste and with rinses, but the benefit really comes from the fluoride protecting the enamel of the tooth when it's consumed. And again, we rely on our environmental specialists in communities to make sure that water level is within the recommended range. And it's a very low level. And at that level, there's no evidence of harm and significant evidence of benefit.
In our final moments together, turning to the political environment with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., President-elect Trump's nominee to lead the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and Kennedy saying last month that if he gets that position, he would advise all water systems to remove fluoride from public water. What kind of power could that move have over local water systems?
Well, I think we don't get our advice from single individuals. We get it from the consensus. Windsor is a community in Canada that in 2013 removed fluoride from their water supply. But 5 years later, they noticed the incidence of dental decay increased in kids. Mm-hmm. And the cost that they were paying for that increased dental decay far exceeded the cost of fluoridation. So they voted to put it back in. That's a great natural experiment of the cost and benefit. Again, we like lead, fluoride can be toxic at high levels, but unlike lead, fluoride has significant health benefits. And we need to have that conversation, talk about the risks and benefits, the cost effectiveness. But I think at the end of the day, I'm certainly glad we have fluoride in our community. And I would argue that we can continue it.
Dr. Remington, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Patrick Remington, Emeritus Professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health.